Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You are listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast brought to you by Birmingham Live.
Hello everybody, welcome back to the Claret and Blue podcast. My name is Dan Rowlandson and I'm joined from a bedroom somewhere in the Midlands, Matt Kendrick. Matt, are you well?
I am well. It's been a bit of a battle to get home. Crikey, I forgot what it was like, match day traffic, but I made it back to the spare room at my in-laws. I've had to move away from my father-in-law's 70th birthday party.
Some commitment to the podcast, that is.
I'm telling you, you've got a special catering as well, making these really, really nice burgers and hot dogs. So this is going to be a quick podcast today, I can assure you.
Yeah, I'm fresh-faced, just ran back from the train station pretty much. It's absolutely boiling hot. There's no hair and makeup on this podcast, so excuse my big sweaty head. As always, we do a quick 10 to 15 minute, 20 minute post-match reaction on a match day night. And James and Ash will be doing the podcast this week on Monday, and we can let them go in depth and analyse it properly. Because we're just going to talk about the emotion of the day as much as anything, that our instant thoughts. And I don't expect us to go too deep. I've not seen any replays of anything yet. Not watched match of the day or anything, obviously. It's only 7 o'clock on Saturday night. So I'll come to you first, Matt. Summarise in 60, 90 seconds how you've enjoyed the day and what you've seen on the pitch from Villa today.
Yeah, it was just lovely, lovely to be back. Can I just quickly give two shout-outs? The thing about not being in the stadium for 18 months, we've got some fans now, Dan.
We'll come to that in a bit.
I bumped into two people, so a shout-out to Mark from somewhere near Rugeley, who used to sit in the posh seats, but is now back amongst the great unwashed. And a shout out to Lee. Is it Lee? I think it was Lee. Let me just check my notes, mate.
Why you say that? My sister told me a story of someone that she works with. Her dad listens to the podcast, so I hope he's listening to this. But I think his name was Dwayne, and he listens in the bath. So, I mean, whatever floats your boat, Dwayne. Enjoy the podcast. Thanks for listening. And just on the subject of having fans, having fans of the podcast, my dad's Kappa badge is coming off his shirt, and he was showing the guy who sits behind us, and he was like, "Oh, take your lad into the club shop, he's a celebrity now, go in and say, don't you know who I am, get this change." I was like, "Oh God, I've been back in 5 minutes, leave me alone." Lovely that people have been watching the podcast during lockdown.
Yes, there's a guy called Ben who transpires, sits a couple of seats away from me, and sadly, Ben missed the goal because of missed the Danny Ings goal.
I was going to ask if you did that. Did you go for a pie and miss the goal?
No. I saw the goal, but my new mate Ben was having a wee, so we missed it. So I was able to gloat about that. So in terms of the match and the atmosphere, it was just, I thought it was a bit of a slow burner in terms of the performance and in terms of the Villa Park atmosphere, if I'm being honest. I think probably the goal woke up the players.
And really, on the atmosphere as well?
I thought it got going eventually. I thought it was a little bit, I don't know, am I expecting and demanding too much? I thought second half, go on.
I thought from the off it was good. I was in there from about 2:30-ish, and there was chance, obviously, before the players come out and stuff, and getting a big reception for the warm-up. When they instantly came out, that was one of the loudest I've heard Villa Park, and might be a bit of recency bias here, and I don't even fully remember the last time I was there what it was properly like. It's been so long, but it felt like one of the loudest to begin with. And then the first few minutes, it died down a little bit because of the game. It's not like we scored an early goal or anything, so it did die down a touch, but I thought it was good pretty much all the way through, and from 2-0 onwards at the end, it was back to how it started. Your expectations are too high.
Yeah, I think my expectations probably are too high. I thought, like you say, when the team walked out, I thought it was magnificent again. That was the real moment where we knew we were back. I thought in the first half it was just a bit slow going, but by the end it was brilliant. It was party atmosphere again. I think the encouraging thing from my point of view today was I thought that we beat Newcastle, I say comfortably, I'm probably being a bit selective there, because if Callum Wilson sticks that away in the first 5 minutes or whatever it was, and then if that ridiculous penalty decision, not ridiculous penalty, I mean, I thought it was a nailed on penalty, wasn't it? But for VAR to come and help us out twice like that so spectacularly, there's going to be a massive sting in the tail with VAR for us in the next few weeks. But I did quite like the VAR, my lord, chanting. I thought that amused me greatly, and I was joining in that. It's just, you know what pleased me about it? How normal it all was.
Yeah.
It was just, it sounds cliche, but it was as if we'd never been away. It was, you know, I know everybody's supposed to be being careful still, you know, so we can finally, you know, get through the other side of this horrible disease. But there wasn't any kind of weirdness to me about being back amongst a crowd of that size. It just felt right, and it felt natural.
As it was first being talked about, fans going back, I thought, I can't imagine not 40,000 people being sat in the same place anymore after what we went through of not seeing another human being for so long. So I thought it would be weird, but it almost felt like this weird time capsule being back, that I've looked around, and I mean, not everyone will have this because sadly some people will have passed away in the last 18 months, but everyone that sat around me in February of 2020 was still there. Doing exactly the same. They all looked exactly the same. It was like I'd been frozen in a coma for 2 years and let back out and just went to Villa Park, and everyone else was there from the previous game. So, it felt normal. The routine was nice to go back, hearing the chants and everything, and obviously seeing a win as well. I tweeted it on the way out after I finally got some phone reception. That's still as bad as it was back in the day as well, so nothing's changed there. I thought, oh, that was bloody good, wasn't it? And someone put, well, I won't call it good. The performance was okay. And it's like, oh, forget the performance for now. Let's just bask in a win, being back in 40,000 at Villa Park, and we've won. That's what's good. We'll analyse the performance at a later date.
Talking about the people around you, do you actually know the names of the people who sit? I know you probably know the names of your dad and your granddad. Do you know the names of the people who sit around you?
No, I don't. It's always that guy behind us, or that guy with the bald head, or everyone's got their own nicknames for everyone around them. Someone's probably got a nickname for me, which probably all sorts of names for me floating about out there, and likewise yourself. But yeah, I don't know any of the names. It's one of those weird things that you never seem to ask. I've sat by some of these guys for 10 years and I don't know what the names are.
I don't know whether I should make a more, you know, in this new world, whether I should make a more conscious effort to get to know my neighbours, really. Yeah. Around me, all I do is just kind of, you know, they know me because I shuffle off past them, you know, several times to go for a wee during the game. But in terms of what was your, I suppose it's obvious, you know, what was your moment? It was obviously the opening goal for me. Where do you sit, Dan? I should know this.
Lower Trinity. I'm C6, I think. So like, if I'm looking out at the pitch, I've got Dean Smith like on my right-hand side, bottom right of me, North Stand to my left, Holt end to the right, kind of bang on the halfway line pretty much.
So do you sit kind of just to the right of the press box then?
Yeah. If you're looking out at the pitch, I'm right at the press box.
Yeah. So I'm up top tier of Trinity, right behind where the press box is, kind of.
So if there isn't 40,000 there, obviously you could hear Smith and Co shouting their instructions. But even in the odd bit when the crowd dies down a bit, you hear the odd thing from the coach and stuff. So Dean Smith absolutely battering Wesley to move about in his warm up more was one that springs to mind straight away, shouting, "Get a bloody move on, Wesley!" as he ran off to go and warm up. And Austin McPhee was one of my kind of things noted from the day. I think Astra's like a moments missed kind of piece after a match day. He's very animated on the touchline. Every throw-in set piece.
Can you hear Happy Birthday being sang?
I can, yeah. You're missing out on festivities here, aren't you?
Ta! Happy birthday to
you. Anyway, you don't get this on any other podcast, do you? Let's just say that.
A big shout out to my father-in-law, by the way, Peter Wilkinson, who is 70 today.
Many happy returns.
That's what you can hear in the background. He's just had his knee replaced, so hopefully they won't be giving him the bumps downstairs, otherwise you'll be hearing sirens and all kind of things. God, we're so professional here, aren't we? Can you still hear all that nonsense in the background, or can you?
No, it's fine. We can hear you. It's fine.
Austin McPhee, discuss.
Yeah, I just thought, you know, obviously we're talking about the the lack of John Terry and Richard O'Kelly, and that coaching setup seems fine. I think there still probably will be another addition from reports, but they're all involved, and like I was saying, every throw-in or free kick or corner, he's straight up there, he's demanding things. You notice straight away that the right winger and the left winger, I think it was always left up from a corner. So Buendia is right on the halfway line. Philogene Dice then replaced him, was doing exactly the same. And it's minor things, but that seems to make a difference, and Matty Cash's long throw-in comes out and sets up the goal effectively. So, you know, big round of applause to the set-piece coach, and we'll all look at that and go, yeah, that seems to be working then.
You don't see enough long-haired coaches. Like, do you remember? I bet you don't remember Hanson, do you? Do you remember the boy band Hanson?
No.
Do you know?
Another song, yeah. Another song.
Google it. It looks like one of them. That's you're right. I mean, I can't recall Villa ever. Have Villa scored from a long throw before?
No idea.
Did Matty Cash have a long throw before?
This is the thing. I've not seen. Like, I know we said before the start of the season that like it'll be special to see. You know, we're talking about Ings and Buendia. It'll be special to see Cash in person and Martinez and these new players from last year. But we watched on telly last year, and I don't remember a long Matty Cash throw last year. But then Dean Smith said something today like, "Oh yeah, we'll utilise Cash's long throw from time to time." It's like, has he just learnt this? Like, because it's a new thing, but it's worked. And Mings gets the flick on. Mings assists Ings. What a goal as well. Great finish.
It was brilliant. It was, and where we sit, we were slap bang in line with it. It was so, so sweetly struck. And I think I tweeted this earlier. Big shout out to that towel that Matty Cash was. Mind you, I think he was drawing a ball with a wet towel, which, how you achieve that, I don't know. But, I mean, there's lots of football purists who don't like direct football, but, I thought to go on, you know, to beat Bruce in a way by taking the lead that way with a very direct route one. It, mind you, to me, it can still be beautiful. It was a direct goal, but it was still, a really aesthetically pleasing finish. So,
obviously.
I just loved it. I just loved it.
Celebrating a goal in person as well. I've said to you before on this that I've not celebrated goals like I would in a stadium, sat watching it at home, especially in front of a laptop working most of the time. To celebrate a goal in person, that's what I'm saying. Like, just the occasion of being there today, and obviously the win makes it all the more sweeter. I don't think I'd be half as buoyant if it was a one-all draw we'd lost that, obviously. But combine the win with celebrating goals and seeing new players is just a lovely day out.
Yeah, good exercise as well. I know you were puffing and panting getting back from the train station in time. I forgot how many flights of stairs there were to the top of the Trinity. Yeah. God, I was gasping and wheezing by the time I got to the top of it. One criticism, I did ask for a steak pie inside the stadium and I got a chicken mushroom pie.
It's just not on, is it?
I ate it. I should have ate 4/5 of it and then took it back. But I ate it and just gave like a good boy.
We'll consider it as the first game back. I bought a program as well. Not bought a program for years, but I thought I might as well buy a program just to. I felt like a tourist. I was back at football. I got my half and half scarf, got my program. I just thought.
I haven't got your half and half scarf, have you?
Well clarified, no half and half scarf. I thought, just because we're the first game back, I don't think I'll buy them every week. But yeah, got the program. Looks pretty nice. And the goal scorer on the front, so happy days. I wanted to ask you about the team lineup, and this is always like a retrospective thing because there's always a meltdown at 2 o'clock every week. Don't often buy into that because you could look at the lineup and think, Christ, don't fancy that, and they win. So I don't read too much into that. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, decent, yeah, happy to eat that, lovely stuff. And then I noticed that Leon Bailey wasn't even on the bench. I was thinking, where's that come from? But ultimately, that side gets the job done. We look far more balanced with three in midfield. Ramsey is the weakest of the midfield as the youngster, and you think, oh, he could be replaced. And he plays out of his skin, effectively, and looks really comfortable. El Ghazi, many probably wouldn't have started. Yeah, it's only a penalty, but he's still got to score it and slots that away beautifully. And no Watkins, and Ings steps up with another goal, 2-2 for him, and we win the game and everyone's happy. Ashley Young takes Matt Target's place, was player of the year last year, and he didn't put a foot wrong and looks fitter than ever. So all round, 2 o'clock, you might be thinking, I'm not sure about that team. Come 5 o'clock, you're thinking, how does Matt Target get back in this side?
Yeah, I think it's like, I don't think it was vintage Villa. I think we could have played a lot better. We had enough to beat what was in front of us. I thought the midfield three, again, I'll face bigger challenges than that this season, but I thought the midfield three were really, really good. I thought Ramsey really grew into the game. I know he'd have had a couple of... Did he make his debut in the Albion playoff? I don't think it was one of the Albion games, I think. So he would have played in a big crowd before, but perhaps not quite with the intensity and for the whole 90 minutes, as he did today. And I thought he really thrived on it. I thought sometimes probably played within himself a little bit. You know, when he was the one who was kind of leading a counter or leading a break, he kind of checked back a couple of times. He wanted to make the most of it. But I thought he looked good in there. I thought Louise did a good job of providing cover for when Ashley Young went marauding forward and Louise needed to come back and try and keep tabs on St Maximum. And I thought McGinn, and I'm probably putting a very brave face, whatever coating on this, but I think Grealish going, and we've done well. We've got 15 minutes in without saying the G word. Grealish going means that all those players in there who previously have been at, their main job has been win the ball, give it to Jack Grealish. They've got to do a little bit more with it now, and they can take more responsibility and they can express themselves a little bit more. And I thought McGinn was very good in that sense as well, playing a little bit further forward for most of the game. It's funny you mentioned El Ghazi, because I was like one of the miserable kind of moaners. Not loud, you know, only to me, my son and his mate about, you know, are Villa really kicking on if El Ghazi's in the starting lineup? You know, are we really, really progressing? And just when I was having a moan about it, did you see it when we played a big diagonal, I think, and it looked like it was flying out of play, and he somehow did an acrobatic manoeuvre to keep it in, to keep the ball alive. Did that, and I was like, well done.
How do you know?
Yeah. And then he obviously took the... I thought Ings would be on pen.
Yeah, me too.
On penalty duties, just because strikers want as many opportunities as they can to score goals. But he doesn't let us down much, does he, El Ghazi, in terms of from the penalty spot? You know, he's got a pretty good record. And thought he buried the penalty. And I thought it was just going to be a little canter to full-time then. And then, you know, lo and behold, Martinez... probably felt a bit bored, had a rush of blood to the head, and come steaming out. And it's a stonewall penalty. And you're thinking, well, what are VAR actually checking here? Because, well, you know,
from time quite low down, I was thinking it's hard. You can't even see the lines on the pitch from like row six or whatever it is. I'm giving away my seat position here. I'll be sworn next game. No, joking. No one cares. But you can't see. So I'm thinking, oh, maybe it's on the edge and they don't quite know whether it's in the box or not. Because it's obviously a definite penalty. I was surprised he wasn't even sent off, to be honest. I'm not seeing it back, but he's come flying out. Obvious penalty. So my first thinking is it might be right on the edge. So they're checking whether it's inside or out. I've seen a screenshot of the offside with the lines. Obviously, when they're doing the VAR in the stadium, you know they're doing it because the ref's taking an age, and then it finally comes up, VAR check, possible penalty, possible handball. But they don't show it while they're going through it. Once they've made the decision, they showed it on screen, so you could see it from afar.
Yeah.
And I've seen a screenshot on Twitter, and it looked very tight to me. Like, I think we've certainly got away with one there, and if this was the other way around, I'd be looking at that going, we've been very, very unlucky not to be given that penalty there. But
yeah, I mean, I've not
in our favour, so I don't really care. This is a biased podcast.
I've not heard of any of Steve Bruce's post-match, but I could just... It's scripted for him, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Can you imagine him clutching at somebody?
He said something like, I thought we weren't looking at narrow lines this season, and he's offside by a toe and all this. So he's going to use that to his advantage. Let's face it, Newcastle weren't good enough to win that game. That's why they didn't win.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, Martinez, I don't think... if they'd sent him off, they'd have... only really been able to send him off for violent contact, because I don't think they sent him off for denying a goal scoring opportunity, because the ball was already out of play.
Do you know whether obviously we were both there, so I missed it if it did happen. What happens to his yellow card? Does it still get given, or is it because anything that happens after that foul for the penalty that isn't then given?
Wasn't the precedent with Pickford and and Van Dijk last season? I can't remember.
It makes sense that they rescind it, but part of me just feels like they're classics, kind of some like, you know, off the pitch instant, as if he, you know, as if something happens down the tunnel, it's after the game, but you can still be booked. So I'd imagine
that can be for the analytical follow up podcast.
We'll get them
James Rutten and Ashley Creese on Monday. They can deal with all the, you know, all the
actual talk. The one thing I did want to ask about, because he seemed, I've had a quick scan on social media while I was on the train, so this is why this podcast is a lot more kind of flimsy than the one we do on Monday, because I've not looked into, you know, what people have been saying and other opinions and replies and stuff. Buendia seems to have divided opinion. I thought he was pretty good, and then I've scrolled Twitter and people are saying he still looks unfit and I'm not sure about him for the next game. He comes off to a standing ovation, and I thought, yeah, fair enough. Did a job.
I thought he was very, very busy. I thought he got through a lot of hard work. There's a lot of Villa fans on here who will know more about him and would have watched him more at Norwich than me. He played a lot deeper than I thought. I thought he'd be playing closer up to Ings. So I thought, to me, he's a magician. It's the magic in his feet. I don't think he looks like he lacks pace. Now, whether that's always the case, or whether, like you say, people who are moaning saying he's lacking fitness, maybe that is the case. But I thought it was a pretty decent debut.
I'm not saying that's peak Buendia and that's the best he can be. I think he'll be a special little player once he gets, you know, fully up to speed. He's played one game at number 10 and one game at right wing, so that's two different roles for him in two games at a new club. I'm not saying that's, you know, peak Buendia, but certainly wasn't poor enough to make me think that he doesn't start again next week if he's fit and ready to go. He looked far more comfortable out on the right side than he did at number 10. Like you said, he was busy, got to second balls, won tackles. I think some of the Norwich guys were saying that he's not a defensive forward, but he'll win tackles and press higher and be dangerous in that aspect. So I thought he was fine, but then everyone's opinion is different, and that's what makes football football, I guess. That's why 42,000 back in Villa Park. Some people boo, some people cheer, and we all see things differently.
Yeah, there was only one moment, but there was a lovely little back heel, I think he did, to Matty Cash. Well, he scared me in the first half because he tried to do a step over in his own box before he cleared the ball. But listen, I think that my first kind of impression of how Villa played as a team today was it looks like a new team to me. I think there were times when Ashley Young and El Ghazi weren't on the same wavelength and that kind of thing. But I was encouraged. I would, and hopefully, I don't know what the prognosis is on Watkins and whether Bailey's going to be involved next week. I wouldn't have any qualms about starting with the same team again, to be honest. Like I said, probably I'm a harsh critic of El Ghazi. I probably would want to see a little bit more from him. But I it's been so long coming, and you know, there's probably Villa fans who are tougher on the team than us and who demand higher standards of them. I think to go back in there with two or three big players missing, I say big players, we don't know yet what Leon Bailey's going to be.
Potentially big players.
Yeah, potentially big players missing. And there were a couple of scares in there, but nothing. You know, as soon as Danny Ings put us 1-0 up, I thought probably 1-0 would be enough to win the match, to be honest. So to achieve a routine win after the horrible, you know, flat performance of last week, I'm pretty encouraged, to be honest. I can't wait to get back in there. Actually, I think I was joking with you. I'd probably been easier to stay there, given how long it took me to get off Tesco car park. But yeah, it was brilliant. That's my only thing. My only gripe is chicken and mushroom pie instead of steak pie. And it took me absolutely ages to get off the car park. So I might have to go on the train.
Yeah, I was thinking the train as well. Just, I will let you go in a sec. I know you wanted to be done by 5:30, and this is delving into longer than we thought. Jake said Buendia was good, but completely ran out of steam after 65, and I think we'll probably see a little bit of that for the next probably 5 or 6 games while Villa are still gelling as a new side. Players are coming and going. You're still yet to see Bailey play from the start. Watkins hasn't featured this season. Who knows whether he's back next week or not. Douglas Luiz has played non-stop football for however long, and he's back in today. And he looked all right, to be fair. Nothing major, nothing special from him really, but helps us play a midfield three, so that keeps Villa ticking. Matt Target has got a fight for his place now, which we wanted competition in the side, so that's all good. It's a clean sheet for Martinez, and you know, people are saying, oh, it's only Newcastle, but it was only Watford last week. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just, yeah. Every game is a single 90-minute period where if you win, you win, you move on, and that's it. I'm not going to read too much into it. Next week, it'll be only Brentford if we beat them, won't it? And if we lose, it'll be a meltdown, but it's only Brentford. It's one game. You do your best. You hopefully win, and you move on. I think it will be a bit of time before we see the proper Villa, but I think there's some encouraging signs, and it's a 7-day wait till we're back at Villa Park instead of 500-odd, so that's the biggest win for me.
Yeah, he was good to see. I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it Bedace?
Philogene Bedace, I think.
Good. I don't think he had much involvement, but it was good to see him get on the pitch. And I suppose it's things like that. If we are carrying injury with Leon Bailey and Troy Aurey and Watkins, at least it gives Dean Smith a chance to look at some more of the kids. It's been. I was just thinking, I don't know whether I should say this. Considering I went drinking last night with my mates, and I started today by falling off the toilet and scraping my back off the toilet wall. Considering how ropey the day started, I'm pretty delighted with a 2-0 win, and to still be and to get home and still be standing. Because I think, mate, I was right. I'm 43 years old, and now I look a lot younger. I'm 43 years old, and I was in a right old state. So I'm in the doghouse at the moment with Mrs. Kendrick. So the fact that Villa have won, at least I've got something going for me.
One last thing. Did you stay till the very end when all the players were clapping the crowd and everything, or did you leave when they went? Stay to the end. Did you see the little kid
on? where was he from?
I don't know. He was just a kid out of the crowd. My first thought when you first see it was like, oh, it's one of the players' kids. And I was thinking, what am I talking about? It's the first home game of the season. Like, there's no way one of the players' kids is down there. Like, part of me is like, how does that happen? How is that allowed? But he's just strolling around, clapping the fans and everything. All the players are looking at him, like, you know, giving him high fives or whatever. And then some steward runs on to like grab him and pull him off. Not like heavy handed or anything. He's only like 7 or 8 years old or something. Tyrings has gone over to him and said, oh, it's all right. And like walked him back to the crowd, and he jumped back into the Trinity, I think. What a lovely moment. I kind of like, you're not supposed to do stuff like that. If it's a full grown adult, I'd be like, oh, what an idiot. But it's a little kid, whatever. It made me laugh.
No, exactly. You know, that's what you want your captain to do, to be able to rescue lost children and return them to their parents. So, it was brilliant. It's good that the next home game is only next week as well. I've got a taste for it.
Yeah, same. I can't wait to go back. And I think I'm not going to count my chickens just yet, but I think we'll win next week as well. I think the crowd plays a massive part, and Brentford will be probably maybe trickier than Newcastle were today, but they drew 0-0 with Crystal Palace today. Like, Is that too much to be concerned about? The big Villa Park home crowd, momentum's with us, we've won. Go there, beat Brentford into the international break, and everything looks quite rosy, doesn't it? 6 points from 9. So, yeah, let's get us back there. Happy days. Do you want to go off to your party now?
Second, I am going to go down and eat some of the food. I don't think there's a stripper.
Boring.
Imagine. I was just going to ask, and this is probably something for off air, but what's the plan with Barrow? What are we doing? We're going to do a Wednesday morning follow up on that?
Probably, yeah. It's on telly, isn't it? Strangely. I mean, it's good to be able to watch Villa, but why Villa Barrow has been selected for TV, I don't know.
Unless they're expecting an upset.
Yeah, well, we'll watch it Tuesday night. Ash is there, isn't he? So we'll get Ash to post a video or something.
I'm not sure who's going. But we have got somebody
this
there.
Is an off-air conversation. No one cares about this. thank you very much for tuning into the Carlton Blue podcast live on Saturday evening. Thank you, Matt, for your time and taking half an hour out of your day to you're at a party, personal time. Go off and enjoy yourself. Thanks to the fans for watching. We do appreciate it. As we said, Ashley Priest and James Rushton will be back on Monday, probably lunchtime by the time that comes out. And now look at the game in actual detail without all the silly nonsense of this episode. Thanks everyone for watching. Thank you, Matt, for your time. And we'll see you on Monday. Thank you for listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please do let us know. We love hearing your feedback. We'll be back soon with another episode. But until then, up the Villa.